Zayin, we'll start from the mission on the banner of Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, and the mission there is talking about Revius Dam. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Danti Lefnei Rabbi Eliezer. I made the following Kalvachomer. You know that very often Kalvachomer is referred to as Din. In the Gemara, In Onshim Min Hadin means that you're not allowed to give somebody capital punishment, maybe not even Malkos, with the use of a Kalvachomer, but it's called Min Hadin. So I was Danti Lefnei Rabbi Eliezer. If an Etzem Kisora, She'eno Mitami Adam Be'ohel, it has a Kula. It has a Kula. We're starting over here right now. There's a Kula in Etzem Kisora, which is that it's incapable of being Mitami a person if the person is in the same room as that Etzem Kisora. And still, Hanazir Megaleach Al Magov Al Maso, it has a Chumra that the Nazir has to redo his Naziros if he touches it or if he carries it. Revius Dam, Shehu Mitami Adam Be'oel, it's Chamur, in that same area where Etzem Kisora is Kal, a Revius Dam that's in the same room as a person is Mitami that person. Eino Din Sheyehei Nazir Migaleach Al Magav Al Masa, it certainly should have a Kula, a Chumra in the other area. Keep in mind that the Kavachomer is built on three known facts. One Kula, namely, Etzem Kisaura is not Mitame Adam Be'ohel, and two Chumras, namely, that Etzem Kisaura is Mitame B'maga U'B'masa, and that Revius Dam is Mitame with a Nazir and makes him redo his Naziros.
Revius Dam does. The Shear is the Revius Dam.
The Revius Dam. Sorry, the Revius Dam is Mitame Be'ohel, and that Etzem Kisaura, B'maga U'B'masa, makes a Nazir redo his Naziros. So you've got one Kula and two Chumras, and we're trying to learn out this fourth area of Halacha. But it's important to remember that we have the one Kula, the two Chumras. So the Chachamim responded, Amar Li, Mazer Akiva, what are you doing, Rabbi Akiva? Ein Donin Kan Mi Kalvachomer, you can't use the Kalvachomer here. They didn't explain why, they just responded, it's not a good Kalvachomer. U'kishabasi ve'eretzesi yasadvarim lefnei Rabbi Yoshua. When I told Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of both Rabbi Eliezer and of Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Eliezer's response was simply, it's nicht good, not good. When he told Rabbi Yoshua about this dialogue that he had with his other Rabbi, with Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, by the way, were very close friends. It wasn't as if he learned by Rabbi Eliezer in Eretz Yisrael, then he came back into, you know, to Chutz Laretz and learned by Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua were both the Rashi Yeshiva of one yeshiva where Rabbi Akiva learned. So he was talking first with Rabbi Eliezer, and then probably soon afterwards he was talking with Rabbi Yeshua. And he said, Amar li, yafe amarta, it's a good kalvachomer with one problem. Elakein amru halacha, that there's halacha Moshe Sinai over here. And the Gemara explains that Kein Amru Halacha does not mean that this is a good Kavachomer, but the Kavachomer happens to go against Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and therefore the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai displaces the Kavachomer. That's not what the Mishnah means, even though it may sound like what it means, but rather what it means is that one of the two Chumras upon which the Kavachomer is built is the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And part of the rules of the Shlosh Esri Midos Shatar Nidresh Espahen is that if one of the chumras in a kavachomer is based on halacha l'moshe misinai, you can no longer use that chumra, it can no longer participate in the kavachomer. Okay. And so the Gemara is just wondering then, which of these two chumras is it that is based on a halacha l'moshe misinai? Iba yiluhu, etzem kisseora halacha, u'revius dam kavachomer? Is it that the etzem kisseora is the halacha l'moshe misinai here, that the etzem kisseora is mitame and nazir, makes him redo his naziros if he touches it or carries it, and therefore ain donin kavachomer me halacha? O dilma revius dam halacha, the etzem kisseora kavachomer, perhaps the revius dam, the chumra of revius dam, namely that it's mitame ba'oel, maybe that is the halacha l'moshe misinai. One way or another, it's going to eliminate one of the necessary chumras from participating in the kalvachomer, but the question is, which of the two chumras is it? And there may be a slight nafkamina from which one it is, because if you're going to compare other kalvachomers to this kalvachomer, it's important to know whether it's the kalvachomer of the clear area, Because we know everything that we want to know about Etzem Kisaora. Number one, it's not Mitami Ba'ol. Number two, it is Mitami the Nazir B'Mago B'Masa. If you say that Etzem Kisaora's Tumas Mago U'Masa is the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, so that would tell you that any time that the Chumrah in the known area of Halacha, where we know everything is Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, that's when you can't make the Kal V'Chomer. But perhaps, if the Chumrah in the murky area is Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, we still could make a Kal V'Chomer, or vice versa. If the Chumrah Chomer Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai in our case is in the area of Revius Dam, the unclear area, so then by way of generalization, that in other places where there's Kal V'Chomers, having the Chumrah in the unclear area derived from Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai will disqualify the Kal V'Chomer, but perhaps a Chumrah in the clear area, the area where we know everything, will not disqualify the Kal V'Chomer. So the Gemara's question is not purely historical, but it's methodological in terms of knowing how to treat future Kal V'Chomers that we encounter. Then the Gemara then answers, it's an explicit braisa, Toshima, Etzem Kisaora Halacha, the Chumrah of Etzem Kisaora that is Mitami and Nazir, and makes him redo his Naziros, if he carries it or touches it, that's Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. Revius Dam, Kal V'Chomer, Ve'in Don in Kal V'Chomer Me'Halacha, you want to try to learn out that a Nazir is also Megaleach for Revius Dam, from a Kal V'Chomer, from Etzem Kisaora, since the Chumrah of Etzem Kisaora is Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, we cannot learn out from there to the Revius Dam. Hadron Allah in Gadol.
And Revius Dam is not a Kal V'Chomer. Revius Dam is where do you learn Revius Dam from?
Revius Dam, the fact that it is Mitame Ba'ohel is from a Gzeres HaKasuv. That's what the Gemara, you know, it's not, you wouldn't have to say that. You could have said the Gzeres HaKasuv is for something else, and that the Chumrah is Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. At this point, the Gemara is preferring to say...
We have one posik, so we know to use the posik for. Is that what it is?
Yeah. The next parak begins with two Nazirim, and there's a Safek. We know for sure that one of them is Tamei, or became Tamei. We also know for sure that the other one stayed Tahar, but we don't know which one is which. And so the question is, what do we do? How do we treat them? Shnei Nazirim, She'amar lahen echad, one witness who observed something that they may not have realized themselves, he says to them, Ra'isi echad mikem shenitma, one of you became Tamei. I guess this is a case of Eid Echad, Ne'eman B'Isurim. It's not a question of giving a person a punishment, of Malkus, of taking money away from them, of giving them capital punishment. It's a question of Isser the Heter. What exactly are these Nazirim supposed to do going forwards? So Echad, one person says to them, Ra'isi Echad Mikem, Shenitma, one of you became Tamei. But Eini Yodea Eza Mikem, I don't know which one of you it is. And the Gemara thinks at first that this is because he forgot. He saw which one it is, he knew which one it was, but then he forgot who it was. So he says, I forgot which of you it was whom I saw becoming Tamei.
Why are we accepting the testimony of one person?
Because it's only B'Isurim, like the same way that we can accept his testimony to say this is kosher, or this is not kosher. So over here also, it's not a question of punishing the person, it's simply a question of how he should conduct himself. Right, but it's a question of Isser v'Heter. We're going to take the money away from him. We're going to force him to pay the money. The Rambam also says an interesting chiddush when it comes to Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurin, which is that if the testimony on the Isser v'Heter might lead to some sort of punishment, as long as it's not evident at the time that the testimony is being given, that it's being given for the sake of creating the punishment, the Eid Echad is believed. So a person can come in and say, this meat is treif. Okay, all he's trying to do is to warn people not to eat the meat. And someone goes ahead and eats the meat, a month later, we'll give him malchus on that. Because the testimony of the Eid Echad was purely with regard to how a person should conduct himself. So it would seem that here, the Eid Echad is probably just testifying about how these two people should conduct themselves. He's not trying to get them punished.
Well, it's costing the money, they're going to have to bring a court.
Right, so that was...
The meat is treif, cost the guy who owned the meat money too. Huh? Now he can't eat the meat.
Right.
There's an ancillary impact.
Yeah. There's a number of discussions about what happens when there's an impact in something, both in Mamon and in Isser. How do we treat it? Because very often the two of them have divergent klali hapsak. And it often will depend on on number one, what is the main outcome of the Eidos? And number two, what's the motivation? What are the Eidim coming to do? So we assume at first that the Eid said that he forgot who became Tameh, but then ultimately the Gemara is going to say that it's not that he forgot, but rather that he never knew to begin with. That's what the Lashon of Eini Yodea is a mikem. I don't know, you know, which it's not I forgot, that would be Shachachti. Eini Yodea means I never knew which of you it was who became Tameh. So what should these two Nazirim do? Misafik. So the halacha is, number one, Megalchin, Umevian Karban Tumav Karban Tahara. After 30 days from the time that they became Tameh, they both get a haircut and they bring two Karbanos between the two of them. Almost as if they're bringing it as a collective. They bring one Karban Tahara and one Karban Tumah, and they make a condition, the Omer. Im ani hu Tameh, if I'm the one who's Tameh, Karban Tumah shall leave a Karban Tahara shall chot, then yours is the Karban Tahara, mine is a Karban Tumah. Vim ani hu atar, then Karban Tahara shall leave the Karban Tumah shalcha. We don't know who the owner is of each of these animals, but that is not a problem. They can bring the animals without knowing which one is supposed to belong to whom.
These Karban Tumah we're treating as a Vadei or something?
There is a Vadei Tumah here.
Right, so, I mean, it's not a fair question, but Tosfos and the Rosh here both talk about these Karbanos as Sfeikos, and I don't understand why. Unless these places are going on something else and they're just mixed in, and the Rosh also says that it's dealing with this idea of not bringing the Yoshom, it goes back to Chachamim,
But this toast was over here, with Sofrin?
Yeah.
So Rabbi Kivager says that it's going on the next Mishnah on Daphne
and
Tessim
of Beis. The Rosh is the same thing. Down here we don't have the same too, unless it's also supposed to be survived. Because everything is mixed in over here.
So where's the toast of Rosh? I mean, that may also be going on the next Mishnah.
Maybe Chatas HaOis was something.
Yeah, again, the footnote on the Rosh in Oz B says, Dibur Zeh Shayich L'Maslis Nin Delamon. It used to be...
nothing on our Mishnah.
Yeah, in the old printings of the Gemara, they used to print all of the Mishnayos in a Perek at the beginning of the Perek. And then all of the Gemara in the Perek would go later on. And so very often you'll find, sometimes some Sechtas more often than others, that Rashi or Tosos will print all the commentary on the Mishnayos and the whole Perek at the beginning of the Perek. The printers very often took care of that in the Vilna Shas, but there are some instances where, I guess, for pagination and reasons, they weren't able to do that, and this may be one of them. You're welcome.
Could we build up this Pshai we have with one, instead of two Nazirim, with one Nazir? Somebody comes along and says, I think I saw you being Tomei, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, so that was the Gemara on Nun Vav talked about that, and the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to talk about that again. So then it really would be a Safik, because he might not be qualified, he might not be entitled to bring a Karban Tumah if he was really Tahar. So then it would have to be a Safik, and there are special rules that will govern how we deal with the Safik that are different than this Mishnah, because in this Mishnah we know that somebody needs to bring a Karban Tumah. There's two Karban Taharas that need to be brought and one Karban Tumah. The only question is when to bring them. If it's a Safik Tumah, so then you might have to downgrade the Nazir if he wants to ever be no longer a Nazir. He may have to give away all of his possessions so that he can be an Ani and bring birds as a Karban instead of animals. Because you can never bring a Chatas, which is an animal, Kispa or Seira, for a Karban Safik. But a Chatas Ha'of, which only an Ani is entitled to bring, you're allowed to bring, even Misafik. So what he may have to do is give away all of his property, hopefully he'll find somebody trustworthy to give it to for the duration,
You never know.
Right? Or he could be Mafkir it in a way that you know, that nobody knows that it's Hefker.
One knows your kid. Why can't he say, I'm not the one that's told me?
He could.
He would be believed. He would be believed.
And the other guy must be.
And then the other guy would be Tummy. The other guy got to be Vade Tummy or Safik Tummy. The other guy will probably be Vade Tummy.
I know Kimley means you pass him a certain way. I pass him like this one. Kimley. But can you use Kimley for this?
Yeah, the Mishnah Nida says.
I know that I wasn't the one.
Mishnah Nida says that if you have three women in a bed and you find a Kesem on the bed, so if all of them deny that it's from them, so then they all have to treat themselves as Tummy. If two of them deny that it's from them, the third one doesn't want to check, so then the third one is presumed to be tummy. And if one of them says it's for me, she checks and says it's for me, so then the other two are tahoros. So it seems that you can have this combination of, you know, somebody, and then we eliminate, you know, two, we pinpoint it on the one, and that is metaher everything else. I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So they bring these, at first, after the 30 days, they bring two karbanos, karban tahara, karban tuma, and they make a condition that the karban tahara should belong to whomever is tahar, and the karban tuma should belong to whomever is tameh. And then Sofrin Shloshim Yom, they count another 30 days, because the one who is tameh needs to count 30 days from when he brought his karban tuma and from when he took his haircut for tuma, and then he begins to count the Naziris Tahara again, and Mavin Karban Tahara. Now they bring one Karban, a Karban Tahara, the Omer, and again they make this condition. This Karban Tahara belongs to whomever needs to bring it at the present juncture. Imaniu Atame Karban Tuma Shaliv a Karban Tahara Shalcha. If I'm Tame, so this is your Karban Tahara. Vizet, right, so if I was Tame, then the last Karban Tahara was yours. Vizeh Karban Tahara Si, and this is my Karban Tahara. Vimaniwa Tahar, so then the last Karban Tahara was mine, Karban Tahara Shali, the Karban Toma Shalcha, and now, the one that we're bringing after 60 days, Zeh Karban Tahara Ska.
Two people can't bring one Karban. The two people would say they're both Nazirim, and after they become Tahar, they want to chip in on one carbon. Can they do that?
You need to bring a carbon b'shutfos to patter many, many nazirim. So it sounds like they cannot do that. The Gemara in Temura says that there are some carbonos which are much more personal, and there are other carbonos which are a little bit less personal. And there are different ways that we can measure that. One of them has to do with who's allowed to pay for the carbon. Mm-hmm. In this case, the carbon nazir, the Gemara goes back and forth about whether or not somebody other than the Nazir himself is allowed to pay for the carbon, and I believe that the conclusion is that we allow somebody else to pay for the carbon, but at the same time, there are certain laws of shlichus that might ordinarily apply to other carbonos which don't apply to a carbon Nazir. So there are indications that carbon Nazir is a very personal carbon. It's not necessarily something that we would be happy with people bringing b'shutfus, even aside from the fact that, you know, what...
Besides that, korbanos require simcha, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would they, both of them at the same time, same thing, on the same animal?
If shutvim are both bringing a carbon, so would they both be somech on the carbon?
That's what I'm asking.
Right, I would want to check it up in the Gemara and Temura again. So
well, anyway, here's a chatos to bring, so the chatos definitely can bring the shutvim.
Yeah, and aside from if I think it's strange, this is not necessarily the type of carbon that we would look at. You know, the Nazir, when he pledges to be a Nazir, he should first check with his accountant before he pledges to be a Nazir, because there's going to be carbonos at the end of the day.
My question was not the monetary aspect of that, but the semichai.
Right, so if you pull out a Gemara Temura from the shelf, we can look it up very quickly. But it's Temura Daf Beis Amud Aleph.
Don't go too far.
I'm gonna keep on reading as you're looking for it, and then whenever it comes, so we'll read it. So the Gemara at first says, "Katani shnei nazirim she'amar lahem ra'is yachem ikem shenitma ve'in yodeya ezam ikem." So that's just the case of the Mishnah. One of the two of you became tummy. I don't know which one. The Gemara is troubled. Amai, why is it that we treat any of them as tummy? We should rather treat both of them as tahar.
Right.
Why? Tahar. The Amai, Kol Safik Tuma Birshus Hayachid, Mehecha Yafinan La. There's a general rule that says Safik Tuma, if we're not sure, thank you very much. We have a Gemara Temura here. Yeah. So the Gemara brings down, and it says, there's the word karbano appears three times. Lirabos kalbali chovrin lesmicha. If there's a chevra that brings a karban, each member of the chevra is one of the baalei chovrin, so they all bring smicha. But Rabbi Yehuda Balei Chovrin L'smicha Leislei. Rabbi Yehuda seems to reject this drasha, although I believe that Rashi says something here. Vadai Eino Taun Smicha. Kiven De Lo Miyached Karban Didhu. Because it's not a personal karban. Only a personal karban needs smicha.
So it's a machlokes.
Machlokes Tanoim. Seems from the Ein Mishpat that we paskin, the Rambam paskins at least, that they do smicha. So that seems to be the psak of the Rambam, just based on.
But my question is, can two nazir bring one karban in general?
No.
No.
I'll try to find you the other.
There's a chatos. So you can't bring a chatos.
Give me a moment, I'll try to find it for you. Unless it's in the nachos. Okay. Nindu Vagamru. So back to Safik Tumah. So we have a Safik Tumah. If it's in a Rishus Hayachid, what is a Rishus Hayachid? Well, it's very complicated when it comes to Hilchas Erevin. Mm-hmm. What's a Rishus Hayachid? It may have something to do with being privately owned. It may have something to do with being surrounded by walls or mechitzos of a certain size. It may have something to do with the amount of traffic that goes through it. Those are three possible criteria that we use for defining a Rishus HaYachid in Hilchos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos on Davav tells us that there are different criteria for Erevin and for Tumah. You could have something which is a Rishus HaYachid for Erevin, but a Rishus HaRabim for Tumah, or a Rishus HaYachid for Tumah and a Rishus HaRabim for Erevin. At the same time, it may depend on how many people are present. Rishus HaYachid simply means Tumah, where the Safek was born in privacy, was born in concealment. And Rishus HaRabim would mean a Safek that was born in full view of many people. That may be what it means. Or it may mean a place where few people travel versus a place where many people travel. Our Gemara is operating with the former definition, that a Rishus HaYachid for Tumah means that it was born in mystery. Nobody knows really the circumstances of how this came, or at least there's no mizumin. Two people maybe know.
How is it by Saita? Saita was behind closed doors. No, it wasn't in the open public
space. Right, so Saita had many characteristics of Rishus right. HaYachid.
So we're learning from Saita, so maybe we learn at the dinim from Saita.
Yeah, so that's what the Gemara is going right. to say. So the Gemara says, Kol Safik Tumah b'Rishus HaYachid mehecha yafin Allah. From where do we derive it? Misota. Masota, who was present when that Safik was born. There are two people in the world who know the truth of whether or not the Sota was faithful to her husband. There are two people who know it. The Sota herself, and the man with whom she's secluded. So there are two people who know it for sure, but for everyone else in the world it's a Safik. If an Eid Echad comes and says, I peeked in the window and I saw that nothing happened, or I peeked in the window and I saw that something happened. So either way, this woman would not drink the Mei Sota. The only time that she drinks the Mesota is if the only two people in the world who know what happened are her and the man who she was secluded with. Even if an Eid Echad knows but isn't present, the Sota waters might not work. That's one of the confounding variables. If a woman drinks the Sota waters and nothing happens, it might be because there's a third person who knows what happened. So the whole procedure only goes forwards if there are only two people in the world who know the truth. So Sota, it's the Boel and the Nevelis. Right? They're presumed to have done it until they proved that they didn't. Okay. So Kol Safik Tumah b'Rishus HaYachid, so too every Safik Tumah b'Rishus HaYachid which we derive from Sota. Sota, we presume that she did it, even though it's only a Safik. That's what Torah says, Gzeres HaKasov, that she's presumed guilty, even though it's only a Safik. Ordinarily, we don't do that, but here there's Raglayim L'davar, there's Kinoi, There's stira, so she's presumed guilty, and so too any other place where a safik exists in a rishos hayachid, in seclusion, where only two people know the true nature of it, and they are not telling. So under those circumstances, we'll say safik tuma rishos hayachid is tahar. Afkal safik tuma rishos hayachid could go into ika beitrei. It's if two people, and only two people, know what happened, and they're not telling, that is when we apply the rule of safik hachmir. Aval hacha, shnei nazirim, v'hai, there are two nazirs, and the one person who observed them becoming tamei. Hai dekai gabe, on the one who's standing next to them. Hatlasa, so that's three people. So it's no longer a rishus hayachid. Havalei safik tuma, rishus harabim.
Wow.
And kal safik tuma, rishus harabim, sveikotar. A sota, if there were three people present at her seclusion, will naturally tamei sota, will presume that she's innocent. So too over here, we should presume that the nazirim, that presume about each nazir, that he or she is tahar. Because it's a rishus harabim now, there's three people. Now, I think it's important, it's interesting, that the Nazirs themselves don't recall becoming Tamei. It's the third guy, and he's not accusing them, it's saying you became Tamei, but you're denying it. Or you became Tamei and you're ignoring it. It sounds like he's telling them, you became Tamei, but you were unaware of it. And it's a bit of a chiddush then, that the two people who happened to be there when the Safik took effect, but weren't actually aware of it, that they count to make it into a rishus harabim. Imagine you have a sota, and she and the other guy are, they're in seclusion, and there's a third person who's there, but he's not aware of it. I guess you could say that counts as yichud. Hilchos yichud, that counts as yichud. No, it doesn't count as yichud. There's a third person there, so she didn't have yichud with the guy. She didn't have stir with the guy. So that would be, it's not even as if there's two people and a third person who knows about it. It's not considered to be stira and yichud at all. So that's the idea over here, that the tumah was not nolad in a situation of yichud with just two people. There's a third person, and even if the third person is oblivious, he doesn't even know that the other two are there. But the fact is, it's not yichud. Even if the third person is oblivious, unless he's a child, it may be different, because that's like even deeper state of not knowing and not being aware of what's going on.
Rishus HaYochid suddenly turns into a Rishus HaRabim because at that moment there are three people there.
For Tumah, just like by Sota, for Yichud. Two people, man and a woman alone, that's Yichud. But if there's a third person together with them, so it's not Yichud. So the definitions, Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, are not being used in the classical sense when it comes to Safik Tumah. It means a situation parallel to Sota. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does the Sota get Malchus? Because we do get Malchus for Yichud. I know the Gemara says we get Malchus for Yichud, we don't Oser on Yichud. So why doesn't every Sota in the Nistar get Malchus?
Her punishment is much worse.
No, but now, don't they, aren't they get Malchus for Yichud? The Gemara says, I know.
If she escapes, I think that the Mefarshim say that the shame that a sota has to endure in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the punishment for her yichud.
We can't get malchus on two edim. They must have two edim.
No, but sometimes lo tova shmua, if a person has bad rumors about them, it's malchus maridus midrabanan.
There's only one.
No, in a regular case of sota.
There's two edim. Right, but yichud is not one of the things that midiraisa, it's not one of the chayvei krisos that you get malchus for. It's Malchus Mardos. Regular Yichud is Malchus Mardos. But in this case, because of the shame that she suffered, through the whole procedure that they took off her tichel, and they, everyone was present in the Beis HaMikdash, and they started giving her a whole Musar Shmuz in public, so that already counts to be Mechaper.
Well, there is no Malchus then.
I doubt that there's Malchus.
Anyway, in the week, Machem inside.
Okay, you have to start preparing.
Okay.
Start going through Sota Bekiyos now, so that in a week, when we get up to it, we'll be ready to really, tackle it properly.
Okay.
So, Safik Tuma Brishas HaRabim Sveikotar. So, Rabbah explains, Rabbah Bar Rav Huna says, that we're not talking about a case where there were three people present and just two of them were oblivious and didn't realize that they became Tameh, we're talking rather when the aide says, Ra'isi Tumash and Mizraka Benichem, I was far away and I saw the Tumah that touched one of you, but it was too far for me to make out which one it was. So there the Tumah and the Nazirim were Beyichud. The third party was so far away that he doesn't count as making it no longer Yichud. And Rav Ashi says, Dekanami Dekatani Eini Yodea Ezemikem, I don't know which one of you. He doesn't say Shachachti, I was with the two of you together, and then I forgot who it was. He says, I don't know, I wasn't able to see. I was far away. So Shema Mina, that this does not count as a Rishus Harabim. It seems from the Gemara, though, that if it were a Rishus Harabim, that both of the Nazirim would be entitled to continue to go on as if none of them had become Tamei. Both of the Nazirim. We have an Eid Echad who says, one of them is for sure Tamei. And nonetheless, both of them are entitled to continue Bittahara. So that would seem to be what we call a Tarti Disasvi. If this one is Tahar, acts as Tahar, and that one acts as Tahar, then we know that for sure there's one Nazir who's Tameh, who's acting as if he's Tahar. It's a Tarti Disasri. What's the most famous Tarti Disasri? Mincha Meirev. To daven, well, on Shabbos it's a little bit easier, but during the week it's very difficult. During the week, to daven mincha after shkia and ma'ariv before tzeis hakochavim. So there's nobody who says that is the right time. Right, okay, so Tosfos and Brachos on Daf Beis has an apology for the minhag Ashkenaz, but his apology is an apology, and you're for sure right. And so that's the classical Tarti Disasri. On Shabbos, it's supposed to be a little bit easier because it could be that by being mekabel Shabbos. So you already create a sufficient threshold where you could say that the mincha was before Kabbalah Shabbos, that was during the day. The ma'ariv was after the Kabbalah Shabbos, that was during the night. And the Kabbalah Shabbos serves as a threshold between daytime and nighttime, or between one day and the next, so that the mincha is Erev Shabbos is mincha, and the Shabbos is the ma'ariv shel Shabbos. During the week, we don't have that same type of mechanism, even though on Shabbos also I think the Mishnah Brura discourages it, but there are more grounds for it on Shabbos than during the week. And as I said again, during the week even Tosfos has his defense that
just coming back here, why is this a Tarti Disasri? They're being machmir because of the suffix to not take a haircut for 30 days.
No, they're,
maybe one of them is still tummy. What there's nothing inherent in what they're doing that says that I'm declaring that I'm not
Tumah. But you can't do your Naziris Tahara until you've done the Naziris Tumah and brought the Karbonos of Tumah. So there's one person who's going to bring the Karbonos Tahara, right? Because Safik Tumah Brishas Arabim, I have nothing to worry about. It's Safik Tumah Brishas Arabim. So he's going to bring his Karbonos Tahara. The Gemara says that if this third witness, if the witness was present with the two of them when the Safik was no lad, so then it would be a Safik Tumah Brishas Harabim
Sfeiko
Tahar. They would both be Tahar. Now we know that there's one of them who's coming.
Shnei Shilin, you also know that one of them.
Oh, so that's another famous example of Tarti Disasri.
That's the real case.
By Shnei Shvilim, it's also very complicated.
It's a derisive case.
By Shnei Shvilim, the case of the Gemara is that there are two paths. One is Tameh and one is Tahar.
Right.
One person walks down one path, one walks down the other one, and they both come to Beis Din at the same time. And they say, oh, I walk down path number one, I walk down path number two, what is my halacha? Or one of them, even worse, one of them comes to ask on his own behalf and on his friend's behalf. So we're going to be giving the psak for both of them at the same time. So what do we do? Do we tell them, well, in both of your cases, it's a safik tumah brishus harabim, so you're both tahar. Or perhaps we're not able to do that because one of them is for sure tummy. How can we say to both of them that you're tahar?
Still we say. What do we say? We say.
No.
We don't say that?
Don't
what are we passing? What is best in passing for them?
You take one
they come together.
They're coming there. One guy is asking for his friend. He said, me and my friend walk two different roads.
If they come together, they're tummy b'safik. And if they come separately, they're both tummy.
Yeah, that's what it is? I don't know.
Sure.
Comes up many times, and I don't know each time.
I thought it was a machlokas. There's a machlokas.
Probably.
And the Gemara says, which case is a machlokas
probably.
In?
Probably.
The because the Gemara says some of the cases, if they come separately,
you can
I think
both ways.
If
then
they come separately, they're both.
They come separately, everyone agrees that
together,
they're
tahar.
Sure if they both come together, right? If they both come together, so that may be the machlokas. And then if one person comes and asks on behalf of both of them, so then everyone will agree that that they're both tummy. You can't give one person two conflicting psakim. So the question just is how to explain it. The question over here is how to explain it also. So Tosfos claim that we're not using the principle of Safik Tumah,
right.
You're just a rabbim tar, because that would create a Tarti Desasi, which could not be resolved. That the rule of Safik Tumah, Bershus Arabim is insufficient to create a Tarti Desasi. By Sota, the reason that if there is three people present, that we don't treat her as being Tame, we don't make her drink those Sota waters, is because there's no Tarti Desasi. If we let her off the hook, that's because she's presumed to be innocent. And if we make her drink, that's because she's presumed to be guilty. Sota does, the parallel, the comparison to Sota does not justify the creation of a Tarti Desasi. So Tosfos says that when the Gemara says it's because of Safik Tumah Bershus Arabim that both of them would be permitted to just do the Naziris Tahara and then bring their Karbanas Tahara and then be normal people again, is not because of Safik Tumah Bershus Arabim, but rather it's because each of them has a Chazaka, a Chezkas Tahara. Each of them has a Chezkas Tahara. So a Chazaka is one of the principles that we use to resolve Sfeikos. So each one comes and says to the beis din, look, I'm not sure, maybe I'm tamei, maybe I'm tahar. So beis din says, well, what were you before? I was tahar. So presumably nothing changed. An object in motion will remain in motion unless something stops it. There's nothing here that's strong enough to stop your tahara from rolling forwards, and therefore you're presumed to be tahar from here on in. And the second one will ask the same question. And again, there's the momentum of tahara, and there's nothing sufficient to block or to reverse the momentum of tahara. So they'll both be tahar because of a chazaka. Now, what does this mean? Does it mean that they're both entitled to take the risk of being tahar, even though one of them is tamei? Does it mean that they're both obligated to take the risk of acting as if they're tahar, even though one of them is tamei?
That's a problem. Then.
Hmm?
You can't bring.
Or does it mean you
can't bring a carbon? That's a suffix. You can't bring a carbon.
No, but we have the mechanisms for dealing with tumah. Maybe right. If both of them chose to be machmir and say, "I don't want to rely on the chazaka. I don't want to rely on it because it's a 50-50 chance." So you're telling me the 50-50 chance is going to be resolved by applying the chazaka. But I don't want to take the risk. So maybe am I allowed to be noheg naziras tumah b'safek?
So then you have to bring your carbon.
I think the answer would be probably yes. If they want to give away all of their property so they can be an ani, then there are ways to be mati, right? Or maybe we'd say no, because those ways are only when there's no other solution. Here there is another solution, to rely on the chazaka.
Right.
He's nervous about taking the risk, but halacha says sometimes you got to take risks. Sometimes you got to even take spiritual risks. So this may be one of the cases. So I'm not really sure what would happen if they said they wanted not to rely on the chazaka, but it's clear that we're not relying, says Tosfos, on Safik Tumah Bershus Arabim. The parallel to Sota would not justify Tarti Desasri, but the appeal to chazaka would justify the Tarti Desasri.
Isn't that Xeris HaKosev, Safik Tumah Bershus Arabim? It's Xeris HaKosev. It's a Safik. We don't treat it as a Safik. We treat it as a Vada.
Yeah, it is Xeris HaKosev.
So we don't treat it as a Safik any longer. We treat it as a Vada.
Right, but the only thing is, it has to be in a situation which is parallel to Sota. When we treat a Sota as a Vadai, that's not creating a Tarti Desasri. So here also we can't create a Tarti Desasri. Tosfos makes the following point. He says, Safik Tumah Bershus Hayachid is Tame, right? So if the case of the Mishnah is Safik Tumah Bershus Hayachid, so why not say that both of them are Tame Vadai?
Right.
Both of them are Tame Vadai, because they're both Safik Tumah Bershus Hayachid. We don't say that. We say that one of them is Tame Misafik. So why not say it's a Safik Tumah Bershus Hayachid, Safik Tumah Bershus Hayachid is Tame Bevadai? Ella, says Tosfos, that even though by Sota we say that she's Timea Bivadai, that's because it's not a Tarti Desasri to say that. But in our case, it would be a Tarti Desasri. So there's no parallel to Sota anymore. We can only say Tami Vadai when it's a case which is exactly analogous to Sota. So that's why Tosfos has a problem. If by Rishus HaYochid it's not analogous to Sota, and we don't say Tami Bivadai, but Rishus HaRabim, if it's not exactly analogous to Sota, how can we say Tar Bivadai? That's why Tosfos says it must be because of Chazaka. It can't be because of the parallel to Sota. So now the Gemara turns its attention to a different issue, and that is the Gilua. So it says Megalchin Umavian carbon. They bring a carbon tumah after the 30 days, and then they'll shave again after 60 days. So the question is, Amai Dilma Lav Tamei and Inun, perhaps they're not Tamei. Keep in mind there's two Nazirs, right? And there's only three haircuts which are mitzvot. The fourth haircut, we don't know which one is not supposed to take a second haircut. They're both taking two haircuts, whereas in reality only one of them is supposed to take two and the other is supposed to take one. So the problem is that the one who's only supposed to take one haircut has no justification for taking a second haircut, because a Nazir's haircut is an Isser, shaving off his payas. Right? If, and he's right. Using a tar to take off his beard also, if he's not a Nazir, there's no justification for it. So we're telling this person to get out of a Safik Nazir to perform an Isser of shaving off his payas. Dilma lav tamei an inon, perhaps one of them is not tamei. The Ka'avid HaKafa, and he's shaving his payas off. He's rounding his head. So Shmuel says, Be'isha V'katan. We're talking about a woman or a child who's a Nazir. The Rambam paskins this way. A woman and a child who's a Nazir, they're allowed to take two haircuts, misafik, but a man who's a Nazir, only allowed to take one haircut. I'll say, if I'm Tahar, so this is my Tahara haircut. If I'm Tameh, this is my Tumah haircut, but then he's not allowed to take a Tahara haircut afterwards, misafik, because that involves Hakafas HaRosh. The Rambam says the haircut is a mitzvah ba'alma. He can still transition back into ordinary life without the haircut, and that's what he has to do.
On which one? On the Tiglachas of Tumah and Tiglachas of Tahara, it's not...
The second Tiglachas, which if he was Tameh, so then he'd be missing the Tiglachas Tahara.
He would have to wait another 30 days and then do another haircut.
No, he'll get a regular haircut, but he can't take his payas off, so he'll never be Yotzei that Tiglachas Tahara.
That's not a Nozer haircut, right?
Right. So Beisha v'katan. So the Gemara says v'lukma begadol v'akafas kol harosh lo shma hakafa. Why not say that we're talking about, right, a gadol, an adult, but assume that the only iser is to get a mushroom haircut, to leave the hair in the middle, but to shave off the payas. But if you take off the hair in the middle also, so there's no hakafa, there's no creating a circle on the top of the head. It's just taking off all the hair on the head. Mm-hmm. So let's say that that's mutter. It's a general a suffix in the Gemara. Let's say Akafas Kala Rosh Lo Shma Hakafa, and the Gemara says Midalo Mokin Lahachi. Since we don't make this ukimta for our Mishnah Shma Minaka Savar Shmuel Hakafas Kala Rosh Shma Hakafa, it's not an available option to say shave off everything and there's no Isser, because Shmuel must hold that there is an Isser. Shmuel must hold that there is an Isser, and that's why he said that the only passable ukimta that would explain the Mishnah is that we allow this second haircut misafik only for a woman or for a child. Marzutra has a very similar dialogue in which Shmuel gave this answer that we're talking about an Isha V'katan, but not about Hakafas Kala Rosh Lo Shma Hakafa, because it's Asr, just as Asr, to shave the whole head bald with a razor. It is to shave just the payas off with a razor, or even without. He was Masni Lala Shmaita Dishmuel Asefa on a Mishnah that appeared on Daf, on yesterday's Daf, and will appear again on Tuesday's daf, and that is Nazir Shoya Tami Bisafik Umuchla Bisafik. He may be Tami, maybe Tahar, maybe a Mitzora, may not be a Mitzora. So what's he supposed to do? Ochel Bekachim Lachar Shishim Yom. He gets four haircuts, 30, 60, 90, 120. After the second haircut on day 60, he's allowed to eat Kachim, and Megaleach Dalid Tiglachos, he gets four haircuts. And again, the question is, HaKa'avid HaKafa, right? Obviously, right. Of these haircuts, only one of them is for sure justified. The other three may be entirely redundant, and therefore the other three are Safik Heter, Safik Isser. Safik Isser. So he shouldn't do them. Safik Diraisa, Lahachmir, he shouldn't take the haircut. He's going to miss out on the mitzvah of a Nazir getting a haircut. Well, that's a nice thing to do, but it's not sufficient to justify taking the risk of doing an Isser Diraisa. He can transition out of his Naziros without the haircut as well. So Haka'avid HaKafa. So Shmuel says, Be'isha V'katan. Very well. When we're talking about haircuts and cutting off payas, so there are eight categories that we have to deal with. Number one, we always have to take into account the fact that there's a person whose hair is being cut and the person who's doing the cutting. So the primary Isser is on the person whose hair is being cut. Person is not allowed to allow himself to have his payas cut off. It makes no difference whether the barber is Jewish, whether the barber is male or female, whether the barber is an adult or a child, whether the barber, it makes no difference. A person is not allowed to have his payas cut off by anybody, because the prohibition against cutting the payas is don't have cut payas, not don't cut your payas, or don't cut somebody else's payas.
So you mean the issue would also be, that's an issue, is cutting his hair.
Mm. The issur is, if an isha cuts a person's hair, so then the person whose hair was cut will have been over.
And what about the isha?
We'll get there in a second. We'll get there in a second. So it's forbidden for a person to allow his hair to be cut. If the person actively participates, he actively helps the barber says, move your head this way, and he moves his head this way, and then the barber says, move your head that way, and he moves his head that way, so he gets malchus for that. He was actively violated lo sakifu pa'as roshchem. If he remains as still as a stone as the barber cuts off his hair, so then he passively violated the prohibition. He will not get malchus, because you can only get malchus if you're active, if you move some muscles, but he will still have violated an isser d'oraisa passively by allowing his hair to be cut.
What about the barber?
I'll get to the barber in a second. Now, let's say that the barber is Jewish and adult. Right? That basically means, let's say the barber is a woman. So there's a machlokas that we'll encounter in just a moment about whether or not she gets malchus for cutting off his hair. There's a machlokas whether or not she violates the lav of lo sakifu pa'as roshchem by cutting off his hair. But she certainly violates lifnei iver lo sitin michshol by cutting off his hair, because she's causing him to be over an isser. Now I have to wonder, let's say there's a pikuach nefesh case. A person needs to shave off his payas. Yish la'ayin, the person needs to disguise himself as a non-Jew. So is that permissible? Right, that's a general case, whether a person's allowed to disguise himself as a non-Jew in order to save his life, whether that's a problem of Yiharig Valyavar, may depend about whether the non-Jew is Ovid Avodah Zarah or an atheist, which are both in the same category, or whether the non-Jew belongs to a religion that does not, it's not Ovid Avodah Zarah, so then the Jew would simply be disguising himself as another monotheist, just from a different faith, which may be a little bit different. That's not a pasha question. Hopefully then no one will have to encounter that question. But perhaps you can argue that in such a case where a person is compelled by necessity to do that, or let's say it's not the case of disguising himself. Let's say that he needs an operation, a life-saving operation that needs to shave off the hair over there. So perhaps it's better to have a woman give him the haircut than a man, because the woman would have only been according to some of the opinions that we're going to encounter, as opposed to a man who would violate genuinely lo sakifu pas roshchem. So that's a question of a woman. What about a guy? So a guy probably doesn't even have lifnei iver when it comes between him and a Yisrael. It's an interesting shayla. A guy, maybe we have lifnei iver towards guy.
He's not mukhrim that mitzvah. Right, doesn't have.
It's not one of the Zayin mitzvahs, but according to some achronim, lifnei iver is not judged as a mitzvah unto itself, but rather as like a subcategory of other mitzvahs. You're saying still, he doesn't have a mitzvah of hakafas arosh either, so he's not going to be mitzvah in lifnei iver either way. So the guy, if the guy is a barber, he's not getting any iser, and if a katan is a barber, so again, a katan, until he's bar mitzvah, doesn't have mitzvahs either. So let's see some of this inside. So we have basically these eight categories. The nikaf, the one whose hair is being cut. The makif, the barber. And both of these can be either a guy, or a child, or a woman, or a Jewish adult man. And those categories will all be significant, as we will encounter in just a moment. So the Gemara tells us as follows. Amar Rav Huna, Hamakif es hakatan arei uchayev. A person who cuts off the payas of a child gets malchus. Why? The child doesn't have an isser of having his payas cut off, but the barber, to cut off somebody else's payas, that's an isser d'oraisa that's punishable by malchus. Now all the Rishonim ask, so does that mean that if a Jewish barber cuts off the payas of a guy, that he'll get malchus also? The child has no isser of having his payas cut off, and yet the barber gets malchus for cutting off the payas of a child. So maybe a guy also, there's no isser for cutting off the guy to have his own payas cut off, but maybe the barber should get malchus because it's the act of cutting off the payas of a human being. So there's a lot of difficult answers that the Rishonim give to resolve what the difference is. It's obviously mutter for a Jewish barber to give a guy a mushroom, but it's usur for him to give a Jewish child a mushroom. But neither the guy nor the Jewish child are obligated in the mitzvah of leisakifu pas roshchem, and so the Rishonim labor to figure out what the difference is. You could look at Tosis. I'm not going to speak it out right now. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Amalei Rav Ada bar Avalei Rav Huna. So Rav Ada says to Rav Huna, "V'didach man migaleach lahon." He saw that Rav Huna's children used to go around with mushrooms. They were under bar mitzvah. They would have such a haircut. So he said, "Who gave them? Who gave them this haircut?" So Rav Huna answered, "Amalei Chuva." Chuva was the name of his wife. My wife gave them this haircut. And Rav Huna presumably held that even though a man who's not allowed to have his own payas cut off can't cut off the payas of anybody else, a woman who's allowed to have her payas cut off is also permitted to cut off somebody else's payas. Meaning, if it only there's only an isser to be the barber if there's an isser to be the customer. Women have no isser to be customers, and therefore they also have no isser to be barbers. So in this case, the woman's not violating anything. The child has no isser also of lifnei iver because he's under bar mitzvah. People under bar mitzvah have no mitzvahs at all, so he doesn't violate anything. And the woman who's the barber is not, has no isser to be a customer, so she has no isser to be a barber, so she's not violating anything. And that's how Rav Huna allowed his wife to cut his children the payas off.
Wow.
There must have been some extenuating reason why the children needed to have that. Maybe there was some sort of a ke'ein pikuach nefesh involved, but still
like
Rav Ada took him to task, because perhaps if there was an isser malchus, that it wouldn't have been sufficient. I guess you're saying if it was pikuach nefesh, so then the iser malchus would have been
punished.
Nothing also.
See the Gemara further, that he got punished.
Okay, so there's
cannot be.
There's a machlokas whether we interpret the punishment as a hachra or not. I think that in the end of the day, we do accept the punishment as a hachra, but it's a chiddush in halachic methodology that you can infer from the fact that someone got punished for something, the paskin, against that person's shita. But so what happened? So Rav Ada said, "Oi, chuva tikbarinon." Tikbarinon lebanaha, he gave like a curse almost. And the curse was fulfilled. Kulu shani de Rav Ada bar Ava loikayim lezara le Rav Huna, that the Rav Huna's children were not, they had misfortunes as long as Rav Ada was alive because of this curse that he inadvertently gave. So the Gemara says, Mechti, Tarvayu svira kafas kala rosh shma kafa. Both of them agree that a man is not allowed to cut off even all the hair on his head. That was Shmuel's shita. Shmuel said, "Hakafa shmuel kala rosh, shma kafa." Makes no difference. You give the person a mushroom. Makes no difference whether you shave them bald. The payas are off. The isser has been transgressed. So, b'mayka miflagi, what is the machlokas? Why is it that Rav Huna says that a woman is allowed to be the barber for a child to cut off the child's payas, and Rav Ada says that just like a man can't cut the payas of a child off, a woman can't either cut off the payas of a child? So the Gemara explains, Rav Huna savar, lo sakifu pa'as roshchem, v'lo sashchas eis pa'as zikanecha. There's a hekesh here. Kol sheyesh lo hashchasa, yesh lo hakafa. Anyone who's not allowed to be a customer, to have his payas cut off, cannot be the barber either and cut somebody else's payas. But hani nashi hoel v'leisnu b'ashchasa, leisnu nami b'hakafa. Since the women are allowed to be customers and have their payas cut off, they're also allowed to be the barber. Again, presume that there's no isser of lifnei iver involved because the customer has no mitzvos on his own. Rav Ada bar Ava savar, echad hamakif v'echad hanikaf, b'mashma, that the barber, the customer, they're all in the same boat. V'iskash makif l'nikaf, and they're connected to one another. Kalhecha de nikaf michayev, makif nami michayev. Whenever the customer transgresses, the barber also transgresses. V'haykatan hoyel v'hu gufei lav bar onshin, who, since the customer in this case is not transgressing, the michayev makif de michayev, and he's not getting any penalty. Makif nami lo michayev, so the barber also has no penalty because the customer has no penalty at all whatsoever, according to Rav Ada bar Ava. Okay, we need to speak more about it, but not now.